Today is Sunday, July 10th, 2016, and this...
We're here in Las Vegas. Behind me is the Stratosphere Hotel and Casino. And up there at the tippy-tippy top is a thrill ride like no other.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 559.
Las Vegas, Nevada! Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. You dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we can get there by midnight?
Honey, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this morning?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm sorry. This afternoon. I'm doing all right. I was worried that we were going to have to do the show in pitch black because we were without power for a few days this week. But luckily...
What do you mean, do the show in pitch black? How would we do the show if we didn't have electricity?
We would have recorded it on my phone.
Uh-huh.
Or use the generator that my brother so kindly lent us
okay.
to keep things powered up. That would have been, but with no lights and stuff, it would have been weird.
Mm-hmm.
Although I guess it would have worked today because it's kind of bright. Anyway, I'm happy that we have power again. That's my point.
Yes.
Hooray for power.
I have a new appreciation for air conditioning.
I've always had an appreciation for air conditioning, but yeah, you go without it for a couple days and suddenly you realize that, you know.
I really do like all my appliances.
So, yes, we're very appreciative of power this week.
Mm-hmm.
So between that and having to clean up dead rabbits from our beloved Maximus, well, rabbit, although there's a second one that's going to happen, I think.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Things that, and then society just crumbling in general.
Right, right.
It's the podcast, once again, is playing the role of distraction, so that's a good thing, I think. There's not a lot to talk about as far as Las Vegas news this week. A little bit quiet, but we've got a couple things, then we've got some phone calls, and then we'll see what happens after that. All right, so let's start with this.
Overwatch. It could be true, but it's probably bullshit.
Oh, it's bullshit, all right. So there's a rumor from David McKee, the blogger from the Stiffs and Georges blog that Las Vegas Advisor runs, and he says that one of his sources is telling him MGM Resorts is considering imploding Excalibur to use the land for a high-end resort, and that this is all in response to Wynn's Paradise Park plans. No, I don't think so.
No.
I'm not buying this one at all.
I could think of another resort that's a little more eligible, and...
That's a fine point. Which resort would you be discussing?
The Giant Clown.
Yeah, Circus Circus... seems like it would be a more likely candidate for this.
Well, think of the tram, too. Just the infrastructure, how they've got Luxor and Excalibur and Mandalay Bay all connected.
Yeah, they could find a way to do it if they, you know, they could shut down the tram if they had to. I just, there's a bunch of reasons that I don't see this happening. One, you mentioned it, Circus Circus would be a more likely candidate for them to do something with, whether it's sell,
renovate,
implode, start over,
yeah.
Whatever. Partly because it... is the lowest performing of the MGM properties.
Is it even on the other... Is it even on M-Life?
It is not.
Okay.
It is not on M-Life. That, again, everybody, I think, has... I don't think anybody would be completely surprised if they sold off or got rid of that, partly because it's... The fact they don't have it as part of M-Life is a telltale sign that they have plans to do something with that at some point, but I think it just keeps getting delayed. So they've got a ton of land there. It is underperforming compared to other MGM properties. No, Excalibur is not one of their top performing properties, but
right.
It's still, I think it's, I was looking at it and I think for last year, the earnings were, I think Circus Circus was at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
This is for their Vegas properties. Monte Carlo was just above that. And of course, they're going to be doing a renovation to that. I think Excalibur was just above that.
Okay.
So it would make sense that they would take care of their lowest performing property before they would move on to something else. But you never know. The other thing is that...
I'm going to make a crazy statement.
Okay.
If I had to choose between Excalibur and Luxor, I'd stay at Excalibur.
I think that would be a close call for me.
Yeah.
I might too. I might choose that.
I mean,
I don't know.
Part of it, there's the novelty of the pyramid rooms, but I think that novelty would wear off very fast.
No. CEO Jim Murren said a while ago, not that long ago, like within the last few months, that it's unlikely that MGM is going to build any new casino resorts as long as he's CEO. Now, you can... Yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean a lot. I just think it's something noteworthy as part of this story. The reason I say it doesn't mean a lot is because Steve Wynn said he would never develop the golf course, and a year later announced development plans for the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Jimbo at one point said that they were going to do some upgrades to Monte Carlo. This is maybe a year and a half ago, somewhere in there, during a shareholder call, said we're going to be doing some changes to Monte Carlo very soon, but we don't think it's going to be anything that will require a major expenditure. And like a month or two later, they announced the theater would be completely renovated and or ripped out and, you know, building a new one, which certainly is a major expenditure. So, you know, it's interesting that he said that there wouldn't be any new casino resorts, but I don't necessarily see that as gospel. And then finally, I don't know. I don't necessarily put a lot of faith in the particular blog ever since there was a guest writer that was allowed to imply that I had something to do with the closure of Riviera.
What?
Yeah, remember that?
Barely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was dumb.
I know. It made no sense. And,
if only you had that kind of pull.
It's not... Yeah, then, you know, Circus would have closed maybe even before Riviera.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's not up anymore. That part of the article was edited out, which it should have been before it was published, but Mr. McKee chose to leave it in for whatever reason. So,
incendiary purposes?
I don't know. But anyway, so I kind of take things with a grain of salt when I read them in Stiffs and Georges, unless it's like casino news out of some podunk shithole in the middle of nowhere, because he seems to really tackle those topics that nobody else gives a shit about. Wow, what is wrong with me today? I'm just being a dick.
Wow.
Anyway, so...
Where did this come from?
Excalibur, I don't see it going anywhere anytime soon. But it's always...
The fun dungeon will prevail.
I think so. It's amusing to talk about these when they come up, but this one I kind of debated. I think if we had actual news to discuss this week, I probably would have skipped it entirely because I think it's such a load of shit. But what the hell? It seems to be gaining a little traction just because people are interested in the idea of...
Of an implosion.
An implosion and something new coming along.
Yeah.
So there is that.
Yeah, I do think the Circus thing depends on the success of the North Strip. But hopefully in a couple of years, we'll be seeing something.
You want to see the clown fall?
You know what? I'm not as... I don't know.
Or change hands or something.
I don't enjoy being in that property. That property makes me claustrophobic and uncomfortable. And I just, there's something, I just don't like it.
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, I'm not like, oh, they got to tear that shithole down. Because I just don't go there.
Yeah. Well, time will tell. We'll see. Yeah. I don't know. I think we've got a lot of things in the works right now as far as new things coming along. I don't know that MGM... I don't know. I won't be surprised if something happens with Circus. I will be surprised if something happens with Excalibur or any of their South Strip properties that involves an implosion.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them doing another thing like they did with Delano or the hotel in Delano
renovate and rebrand.
Turn something over to somebody else to deal with, which is essentially what they did. But we shall see. All right, moving along to one of the few other stories to talk about this week. I was scanning some websites and Facebook groups or Facebook pages that I've avoided for a while just to see if there's anything new, as I tend to do when there's no news and I'm starved for content. And I found a couple things. Downtown Grand has updated its web page. Well, they updated it a while ago. They have a completely new design, which is a little bit better than it used to be. But also their restaurant listing. They've changed the name of Stewart and Ogden to S&O Restaurant, and they've moved it.
Is there a story that goes along with
a whole backstory?
Yeah.
The letter S met the letter O on a Scrabble board, and they've developed a menu of, I don't know. Anyway, it is now located the website just says adjacent to the hotel lobby, which is clearly the Art Bar space, since Art Bar is no longer listed on their website. So they've moved that, and there's likely to be a new restaurant in the Stewart and Ogden space by the end of the year.
Hmm. I used to like Art Bar.
Me
but
too.
Then it kept declining because it used to have really good drink and food specials, and then they took away the food specials.
Then I think they brought some of it. I don't know. They've changed it so many times. I can't keep up with Downtown Grand shenanigans. Nothing lasts more than 2 months. I would imagine once the new restaurant opens that Stewart and Ogden will go away permanently and that maybe Art Bar will come back or something else.
Or a different bar.
Yeah. That's my hunch. I don't know. So that's happening at Downtown Grand. Another downtown...
Oh, can I ask a weird question?
Of course you can.
Were we talking about... I can't remember. Were we talking about this or was I talking about this with somebody else where if... And it's been brought up before, too. If Mandalay Bay were in the center strip, just...
Yeah, I think somebody mentioned it on last week's show.
Okay.
One of our callers, that it would be like a primo spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So apologies to that person for not remembering.
Yeah.
If Downtown Grand were even on
Fremont. I concur. It would be doing much better, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be, but it still says something about management that they can't get people to walk a block and a half.
Because Main Street Station, that's doing fine.
Yeah, that's a little different because it's so well established, but
yeah,
I don't know.
And it's also connected to both by slot clubs and Skyway to other properties.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. I still am curious what the long-term outlook for Downtown Grand is. They're trying some things. They're doing some things well now. For a while, you know, the hotel was pretty decent, but a lot of the casino stuff was... They're trying some things that are interesting. It seems like they've got a good thing going with the pool. They just announced that whole thing with craft beers. So they're trying to, you know, get people in with that. And then I guess the esports thing is going okay. They've got that little old high limit room.
Oh, right.
And that's the thing where they have like tournaments where you can, if you're good at a specific video game, I think you can go in and play and maybe win a couple $100 or some prizes or something. Hmm. I think they'll continue to hammer at that if it's gaining traction. But I don't know. Long term, I still think somebody else is going to end up owning that or they're going to switch management firms. But time will tell. They're also, for a long time on their website, they weren't really hyping Triple Rock and Triple George and Pizza Rock as like their restaurants, even though it's all managed by the same thing. It's right across the street. They've changed that now. Like the first restaurant, when you pull up the restaurant page, is Triple George. Mm-hmm. So I think they're at least making it look to potential guests like they've got more options than when they were just including the stuff that was in the actual hotel. So that's the scoop there. Another downtown property is the California. They've been doing a lot of renovations there, and one of the things that they recently did was, well, they'd shut down one of their bars, and they were renovating that last time we were through the property, and they've opened the new bar. It actually opened a few weeks ago. It's called Hollow Hollow, also known as the Happy Bar. It looks like a pretty basic casino bar, but I just like that they have on the sign the Happy Bar.
The Happy Bar.
It makes me want to visit it just because it's amusing to me that it's the Happy Bar. That replaces the San Francisco Pub. They're continuing with renovations throughout the property. I think one of the next things that they're planning on opening is a new sports lounge. That's like the sports book bar area is undergoing some renovations, and that should be coming, I'm guessing, before football season.
I like that they're making some improvements. Yeah. I just hope they retain the... Because they've got a lot of classic old school elements.
At the Cal?
Yeah.
All the Boyd properties downtown... do. So I think it seems like they're updating some of their restaurants and things without really losing the old style flavor.
Still pretty sad about Pasta Pirate, though.
Yeah. They've been replacing stools and carpeting and all that kind of stuff, too. So just giving the place a little bit of a refresh, which is long overdue. And I think they're renovating the rooms at the Cal, too, which I'm curious about because, you know, if they had a new room... product that might be somewhere that would be more interesting to stay, which we haven't stayed at any of the Boyd properties in a long, long time. And if they had newer rooms, I would probably consider it. So finally, and I can't remember for sure if we discussed this or not, but I know it wasn't in any of my notes. It might have been an off-the-cuff comment in the last couple of weeks. But a quick update on that Backstreet Boys. I have a feeling like I mentioned this last week, but I can't remember, and I didn't want to go back and listen to the show. So the Backstreet Boys residency.
Were we drunk last week? I think we were.
A little bit.
Yeah. It was a holiday weekend. Yes, we were.
It's been confirmed by a couple members of the Backstreet Boys that they're going to be doing a trial residency at some point. They've said it kind of in just interviews with Entertainment Tonight and Us Weekly or something. And
various and sundry publications and outlets.
Yeah. The latest thing that I was able to find is that they're expecting to make an announcement very soon, and that this 9-show trial residency will be happening in early 2017. So we're still awaiting the official announcement so that I can sing I Want It That Way here on the podcast. Well, I could do it now if I wanted to, but
we like
to do that as part of the official announcement.
Yes. So this is slightly related.
I doubt it, but okay.
So there was a rumor for a while that Backstreet Boys and Spice Girls were going to tour together.
I know. That's unrelated to this.
Well, it has to do with Backstreet Boys. It doesn't have to do with Vegas or
a
residency.
If you think that they're going to do a double residency with Spice Girls, that's not happening.
Oh, God, it's happening in my dreams. But so have you heard the latest about Spice Girls getting back together and that Sporty is not part of the...
Yeah, I saw that they're down to three and they're calling themselves Gem.
Yeah, I have a lot of mixed feelings about this. As much as I want to see them back together and as much as I want to see them on tour again...
I don't like this.
Sporty is... Okay, Posh is okay, but she's not as vital as Sporty.
You could replace Posh with a palm tree and nobody would care. Just have one of the branches pointing outward and like kind of tilted to a certain angle like she does, but she serves no purpose. But yeah, Sporty is key. So I hope that they can work things out or whatever.
Would you say that she's vital to the whole damn operation?
I would. And she's working on a solo album, isn't that correct?
Yes. Yeah. She wants to go a different direction, I believe.
So. Well, let's hope those girls can work it out, because it seems to me like they've been contemplating this 20th anniversary for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Are we still in the 20th anniversary or have we moved beyond that?
Wannabe turned 20 this year.
Okay.
So,
I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will keep an eye on that, too, even though it's probably not going to be anything Vegas related. It's very important to our lives.
It is.
All right. Let's move along. Talk about our friends at Viator.
Viator. Viator. It gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So once again this week, I'm pleased that we have a testimonial from one of our listeners.
Yay.
Our good friend from the Denton, Dallas, and Beyond podcast. We know him as Rue, and he files this report.
Hello, Tim and Michelle. It's Rue from Denton, Texas, calling with a trip report, but it's not about Vegas. I had a chance to use Viator on my recent trip out to New Zealand. They had a bunch of tours available, all sorts of stuff. I got to use them to tour Hobbiton, the Glowworm Caves. I went on wine tours and dolphin cruises. I really had a great time. The tour operators were very professional and personable. They just had a lot of information about all of the given tour locations. And really, it was a very positive experience. I also got to use Viator for my transfers to and from the airport. It was super easy, door-to-door, no problem at all. I've used a bunch of tour companies in the past, and most of the tour companies have great tours, but I think one of the things that set Viator apart was their really very quick and professional response to problems. I had booked a dinner cruise out of one of the bays in New Zealand, and it got canceled by the operator due to inclement weather. The operator called and let me know, of course, that the tour was going to be canceled, but they wanted to put me on another cruise on a different day, and I really didn't have time to reschedule. So I just asked if they'd, refund my money. And of course, they said they couldn't. The operator said I'd have to get in touch with Viator for that. So I shot Viator an email, and man, they had all of that stuff worked out within a day or two. So overall, my experience with Viator was very positive. I would certainly use them again. And, you know, again, it was just no problems at all and great experiences. So I hope you guys are doing well. I'll talk to you soon. Love the show. Bye.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate that report. Glad
to
hear
from you.
Yeah, glad you had a great experience. As always, you can download Viator's iOS and Android apps, or you can book directly through Viator.com. As always, if you're going to book something for New Zealand, Las Vegas, or elsewhere, click through 500bymidnight.com's link first, and we get extra credit points.
Yay.
Thanks for sponsoring the show, Viator. Alrighty, next up, our Facebook group post of the week. This was an easy choice. David had a post with a photo. He was there in Las Vegas, or at least his brother-in-law was there. I think he was there with his brother-in-law. And they were taking down some of the large signs at Girls of Glitter Gulch, because that has since closed, including the large photo of a woman's behind, buttocks, ass. And I think the sign proclaimed Girls of Glitter Gulch as the glitter spot.
The
G was a different color because it's
clever.
Yeah,
so then it made it look like litter spot. Which
I don't think that's what they wanted you to see, but
no, but I did.
The huge banner, and apparently David's brother-in-law just simply said, "Hey, can I have that?" And the people taking it down said, "Yeah, here you go." And he has a huge garage, and it's now hanging inside of his garage. So he posted a picture of it hanging, I think, like on the back of his house, and now it's in a more permanent spot inside the garage, and that is awesome for
that's nice
of Vegas. A Vegas visitor, Vegas fan, to have something, first of all, that's unique and that's monstrous, and to have a place for it. Mm-hmm. And I was very amused by that. So I'll link to that in the show notes if you haven't had a chance to see it. And as always, you can find our Facebook group. I'll link to that on 500bymidnight.com, or just search for 500 on Facebook and you'll find it. Always entertaining and informative. We have some phone calls. Would you like to hear from some of our beloved listeners?
Sure.
All right.
Tim and Michelle, podcasting giants. How are you?
Great.
Oh, this is Dan from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Calling.
When I first heard that, I thought it was going to be, he had a similar delivery to Roach Club Charlie.
Oh.
And we put a call out for him a couple weeks ago and had not heard from him. So, but it's not. It's Dan. We're equally happy to hear from Dan.
And with a trip report, just got back about a week ago. Stayed downtown, had a fabulous time. Couple things. First on dining. Ate a lot of prime rib on this trip. Two places downtown. Downtown Grand, Stuart and Ogden, and Tony Roma's at Fremont. First Stuart and Ogden. We were trying to go to the sushi place. I believe it's called Red at the Golden Nugget. Got seated promptly. And then no one bothered to even say hello. So we left. Went to Stuart and Ogden. Got the prime rib special. For $9.99, I believe that runs 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. Very good. Pleasantly surprised. Service was fantastic. Got seated right away. It was a good prime rib meal. Got the prime rib, mashed potatoes, veggies. Also had some tortilla soup, which was very good because there's nothing more you want on a 100-degree day than tortilla soup. But overall, would do it again, especially for $9.95. Tony Roma's. We did also for the prime rib dinner. That was also $9.99. That special, though, only ran 4:30 to 6:30 at the Fremont. Also very good. Pretty much the only difference was you got a baked potato instead of mashed. But still a very good meal, especially for $10. And I'd probably go with Stuart and Ogden over Tony Roma's just for the fact that Tony Roma's was super, super loud. It was like, holy crap, there was a lot of people there for the special, and it was loud. Second thing, just wanted to review the new Beatles Love Show. Fantastic. If you're a fan of the Beatles, definitely go. The new screen sound, I was blown away. Super. That's all I got to say about that. Based on your recommendation, you made my girlfriend cry. We went there for her birthday, and I got her a surprise limo based on your recommendation, presidential limo. We got out the plane. The driver was texting me like crazy, and she's like, why are you getting so many texts all of a sudden? I go, well, you know, just got out the plane. My phone was off, and it was the limo driver texting me saying, what do you want on the sign? And he put happy birthday to my girlfriend on there. Walked by the first group of limo drivers. I go, yeah, wouldn't it be great if we had one of these? And she goes, yeah, right. And then we walked to the next where our luggage was, and he was there with a happy birthday sign. And she looked at it and pretty much said, no fucking way. And she literally broke into tears. So you made my girlfriend cry, but in a good way, and I can't thank you enough for that recommendation because I don't think I would have ever done it. So anyway, had a great trip. Love you guys. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work, and talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. We'll hear more from Dan in a little bit with some more details on his trip.
Cool. Well, I like the limo story.
I know. It's a nice thing to do for special occasions. I think that's great. I'm glad that it worked out for you and that you had a good time and that your girlfriend was impressed. And she cried because of you, not because
not
of
us.
No. But
if she were crying because of us, it would probably be because she had to listen to the show or something.
Yeah, you forced her to listen and she didn't want to, which some people have done to their poor significant others. We hear from them. We meet them at VIMF. It's always the... He really loves your show. I don't listen, but I love when people make it a point to tell us that. Great, thanks. All right. Next up.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. This is April and Ron from Cincinnati, Ohio. We have been in Vegas for the 4th of July weekend. Went to see Garth Brooks 4th of July at T-Mobile Arena. So I thought I would call... let people know about that. Great high energy concert. We had floor seats, which was different for us, but all the tickets were $80 each, so when they were offered it was like, why not? I don't know if this is like this for every concert venue, but on the floor it's basically padded folding chairs that are side by side with no space. We are not small people, although we're not huge, but if you get too many big people down there, it's tight. So we were glad when the concert started because you could actually stand up and have some room. But other than that, it was a nice venue. It wasn't overly large and plenty of air conditioning. So it was quite comfortable and the concert was great. He went for over 2 hours. So well worth the $80 each. But I would definitely go there to see a concert again. And we were at Monte Carlo and we didn't even know there was like a back entrance exit to Monte Carlo where you can just walk right across the street into that plaza by T-Mobile Arena. So I would definitely recommend staying at Monte Carlo or New York just for convenience sake to get to the concert. We also checked out the park area. It was nice, but in 100-degree weather, there was hardly anybody out there. It's nice that they put out so many tables and chairs. And it'll be good in, say, October during VIMF, but not in July. Way too hot. Those metal chairs would have burnt you. Other than that, we've been having a good time. Tried a new restaurant, or new-to-us restaurant at Monte Carlo called Dragon Noodle Company. Shared the orange peel chicken and some vegetable fried rice. It was plenty to share. Sat at the bar. Really good. We would definitely try that again. Also tried happy hour at Brand Steakhouse at the bar in Monte Carlo. And they had quite a few appetizers for $9 each, small portions, but it was enough if you just needed a snack before dinner. They also had drink specials for $7. We didn't try that. Had some beers. Anyway, it's been a great trip. We broke even this morning, so that's always good. And that's all I've got for now. Can't wait till this. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks for filing that report.
Yes.
Glad you had a good time. Glad that you liked the new arena and that Garth put on a good show.
$80 for all the tickets?
Hell yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great deal for floor seats. And yeah, that's pretty typical of floor seating, that the seats are, they always have them connected because they, first of all, I think they want the rows to stay straight, but also they don't want people like moving their chairs or throwing them in the event of a Axl Rose caused riot. Not at the Garth show, but
Right.
You know, like
that would be weird.
Yeah. Axel shows up and
causes a disturbance.
Punches a biker in the neck and causes a riot. He's been known to do that. Usually they're at his own shows. Mm-hmm. So that's great. I look forward to seeing T-Mobile Arena. I hope that there's something there, you know, in conjunction with one of our trips so we can have a good excuse to check it out.
Yep.
They've been keeping the lineup pretty strong since that place opened. Like, yeah. It's a constant churn of events and like top-notch touring attractions. They're getting all the higher profile shows, I think, rather than the other arenas in town. They're kind of competing with themselves in a sense, because MGM and Mandalay Bay are not getting those top acts. But I suppose the way that it works is they can funnel some of the other shows that may have played, like Orleans or somewhere like that, to one of their other arenas. So I guess it's not a bad thing for them to dominate the arena space. I've got to wonder if at any point Caesars will jump in, and they've talked about it, but it still hasn't happened, to build their own arena. All right. Let's talk about guns.
Hello, this is Kelly. I'm here with Christy and our near friend. We're from Alabama, and it's nearly the last day of our trip. Thought I would phone in and talk about my gun range experience, if you're interested in that, curious about it. If you're not interested, then I would say it's something you can take a pass on, because it's kind of a pricey thrill. But I went to the Battlefield Vegas on the morning of the 4th of July, and I got there early. They offer a 15% discount if you get there early in the morning. So I called them up about 8 o'clock. They sent a Humvee around to the plaza. We're staying at the Golden Gate. There were some other people there at the plaza that wanted to go, so they picked us all up there. Drove down Main Street, down to Industrial Drive, where they're located behind Circus. And you go in there, and there's a variety of packages that you can have or to shoot various weapons. I got one of their more high-end ones. I shot about, 14 different weapons, handguns, rifles, automatic guns. You have a personal range safety officer with you all the time in a paramilitary outfit. These guys that run this thing all look like they're ex-military folks. Very oriented towards novices and tourists. Very friendly staff. Moves you through there quickly and safely. And I enjoyed it. I'd say it is a little spendy, but if you want a thrill like that, not many places you can shoot automatic weapons on the 4th of July. So that's what I did. So had a good time. See you later.
All right. Thank you for the report. There are a bunch of gun ranges in Las Vegas that, you know, operate in a similar fashion. And most of them will pick you up at your hotel and provide free transportation because they want to get you there and get you home and all that stuff. But we've had multiple positive reviews now of Battlefield Vegas.
Hmm.
And I think its location, you know, close to the strip probably makes it extra convenient too, because you're not going to be carted out to Henderson or something.
Right.
So always good to hear multiple positive testimonials on a specific place, because maybe, you know, if you're looking for somewhere to book, you can be assured that it's probably going to be a decent time.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to discharge your weapon on vacation?
I don't know how to answer that question. We'll say yes. Thanks for asking.
Sure. Just wanted to check it.
You just love throwing me off every single week, don't you?
I do.
You're just waiting for the chance to throw something my way I wasn't expecting. Oh, that's why you're a fine co-host. Let's move along. Let's hear from Taylor.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. This is Taylor from New Mexico. We are calling in from the third and final destination, which is Green Valley Ranch. We're at the pool. Really nice pool. Two things. Cosmopolitan Sportsbook Bar. It's a $1 minimum bet to get free drinks. We actually didn't order anything from the cocktail menu. They said, I told them I want vodka something and Tara wanted whiskey something, and they made it for us, and it was delicious. $1 minimum. Beware that not all machines have horror video poker, so check that before you sit down. And we tried the Avengers station yesterday at TI. We are casual Marvel movie fans. We go watch when the new one comes out. We're not like hardcore. Well, you know, we did go there just to see it. Anyway, we got the, it was $58 for two people, including the device, which I think you should have to have a good experience. At the Picks for Tonight, it, I think we save about $20. It took us about 45 minutes to get through it, but I had to kind of go to the bathroom, and there was no bathroom once it started, so we kind of rushed through it. I think it, it'll take about an hour usually. It was fun, and but it's not something you would do it again. And that's our short review. Tara, do you want to say anything?
The waterproof fanny pack is growing on me, so I'm not teasing him too much about it anymore. It's actually kind of convenient.
Okay, so backstory on that real quick. If you're not on the Facebook group, there was a photo of Taylor relaxing, I think at the maybe the Golden Nugget pool, and had a lovely fanny pack on to store all of his stuff. And he was, I'm not sure if he was particularly embarrassed by it or not, but of course there were comments, you know, people pointing out that, hey, you're wearing a fanny pack, that's pretty cool. And and that's the story in that. So it's good that Tara's on board with the fanny pack now, because some women would leave their men if they're, you know, they witness their men. If I were to wear a fanny pack, would you be out the door?
I wouldn't be out the door, but we would have a conversation.
And if so, would you take the dogs with you? Because that would maybe weigh, weigh into my decision.
Get over the fact that it's a fanny pack. It's super convenient. It's, anyway. Okay. Thank you for your podcast. Thank you, guys. Bye.
And there they are. They heard
there
me
they are. Yep.
Mocking them, little fuckers. All right. Thanks for checking in, Taylor. Always good to hear from you and Tara. And glad you're having a good trip. They are regular Las Vegas visitors. They go quite a bit. Mm-hmm. All right. A couple more calls. Let's check in with Jim.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Jim from North Dakota. I've been enjoying listening to your podcast for about a year now. It's been about 20 years between my first and second visit, and another 20 years until the third visit. However, over the past year, the wife and I have been there three times, and we've been using your information as a guide. The last two times, we stayed at the Venetian. They got nice rooms, and my only complaint this time was I couldn't put my finger on the musty smell. I finally figured out that it must have been the infamous old woman perfume air freshener that they pumped into the casino that might have been leaking up to our fourth floor room. Also, since last time we were there...
Thoughts
he
on
couldn't
that?
Put his finger on the musty smell?
I'm leaving that one alone.
On the strip, we noticed that they took down the huge Beatles display on the top floor of the Mirage.
Probably be back. They switch those out every year or two just to make them vibrant again.
And the report, yeah, it was okay overall. We're just small timers, and I'd go ahead and win $20 on slots, check with the wife and find out she hit 500. I'd win $40 in the slots, check with the wife, find out she hit 600. And I also played some $5 craps at Paris. They seemed to have some unusual odds payouts on the place bets. I couldn't quite figure it out. Went over one night, played $10 craps at Wynn, until a bigger spender came and did a belly flop in our kiddie pool, splashing the black chips all over until they raised the stakes up to $25 and a small fish had to cash in. Regarding restaurants, while wandering around looking for some morning coffee, I decided to stop in at one of your favorite restaurants, White Castle.
Is White Castle a restaurant?
Now, because our closest White Castle is about 6 hours away down in your neck of the woods. I'll always grab a few sliders whenever I get there. So for breakfast, there was a couple of sliders. Unfortunately, in the past few years, my cast iron stomach has apparently rusted a bit. And the rest of the morning, it involved quite a bit of churning and loud gurgling noises.
Oh, no.
Lesson one, skip the morning sliders as it scares the panhandlers away. At least the noises do. One dinner we ate at Chow Mexican Kitchen in the Link. To avoid wait, we went to sit at the bar, but there was no spot. So after milling around, a couple spots finally opened around the corner of the bar behind a pillar. So it was kind of a trick to get waited on. And between my dry quesadilla and the wife's so-so taco platter. It was passable, but neither one of us were blown away. Less than two, skip the Mexican, nothing special. We also ate at Guy Fieri's place in the Link. The food is acceptable, and we sat on the outside terrace on the railing. All this was good for people watching. Our ears were assaulted by the dueling DJ music blaring from Carnival Court. Lesson three, don't eat on the terrace in the evening. Well, one day while we were with the Mirage, I noticed the Samba Brazilian Steakhouse had special restaurant week deal, so we gave it a shot. We were there early on a weeknight, and it was not too crowded, so there's no delays, and they brought around skewers of meat quite regularly. It was passable for me, but the wife wasn't as impressed because she's not quite as a carnivore as I am. Lesson four, this is not a Fogarty chow, and don't take the wife to a meat extravaganza. Finally, after checking out of Venetian before our flight, we wandered over the Grand Line.
He said, don't take the wife to a meat extravaganza.
Okay.
I feel like you'd be disappointed if I didn't take you to the meat extravaganza once in a while.
I would.
Cafe right off the casino floor for lunch. For this trip, this was actually the high point of our combined dining experience, and we had some very good sandwiches and service. So the next trip, I'm going to follow the restaurant advice in your book, your podcast, Trip Reviews, and the Facebook group posts, and go for a little bit more upscale for the meals. So overall, the trip on the doggy scale of ratings, the Venetian, staying at Venetian, was like having a schnauzer sleep on your lap. The wife's wins on the slots is like having warm puppy kisses. My craps experience is like calling your dog and it ignores you. And overall, the meals in this trip rank just above picking up dog shit in the yard after the snow melts. Well, that's it for this trip. I enjoy your podcast and heartily recommend your book, Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas, as it's full of information for the new and experienced visitor. Maybe we'll plan another trip down there when the thermometer doesn't need three digits to display. Bye for now.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for the report.
I like the dog rating scale.
Yeah. I would adopt that, but it would be too complicated for me to put things in that perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was amusing. Thanks for the report. What is with them today?
I didn't see anybody walking by, so.
Is there somebody just standing, like, right outside of their view that, I don't know what's going on. It's driving.
Not that I can tell.
If at any point in your life someone says, get a dog, it'll add so much joy to your life, just ignore them.
Oh.
So tired of these fucking things. Okay.
Oh.
All right. Some
but,
days.
But those faces, though.
Some days are easier than others with those two little pieces of shit. Okay, next up.
Oh.
Oops.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Michelle. This is Carl in Indy. And I just have a question for you about comps, or I guess more specifically, casinos matching comp offers from competing properties. So just to give you a bit of background information, I have a Vegas trip coming up next week. And earlier this year, I booked four comp nights at Aria for the first part of my trip, and then three comp nights at Mirage for the rest of my trip. So I was pretty much all set to go in terms of reservations, but a couple of months ago, I found a post on a Las Vegas message board, and it was from the, I think it was the VP of slot operations at Cosmopolitan, and he essentially was just mentioning that they'd been making some changes at the property and casino and the restaurants and whatnot. And essentially, he was extending an invitation to anyone who hadn't visited Cosmo recently and was offering to match hotel offers from competing properties on the Strip. So I haven't really spent much time at Cosmo in the past, but I thought if I could take advantage of this, that'd be great. I'd never stayed there, but had been looking to do so. So anyway, I dropped him an email along with confirmation of my comp room offer for Mirage, and he got back to me really quickly. And basically right off the bat offered me three free nights at Cosmo. He even offered an upgrade to a balcony room and to waive the resort fee. So Needless to say, I jumped on the offer. He put me in touch with a host, and we got everything arranged. So I realized that this was kind of a unique situation where the casino executive was more or less publicly extending the offer on a message board. So you probably don't run into that too often. But I was just curious if, from what you've heard or from your own personal experiences, maybe, if casinos will generally offer upfront comps based on an offer from a competing property. And if so, what would be the best way to go to go about looking into it? So pretty much all of the comp offers I've booked in Vegas have been through either M Life or Total Rewards offers, which I booked online. So I really don't have any experience working with a casino host. Actually, this arranging this offer with Cosmo was the first time I've ever even dealt with a host in person. But I'm guessing that contacting a host might be a good place to start if you're looking into something like this. But after that, I'm just curious if anyone has ever really had much luck scoring upfront comps based on an offer from a competing casino. And so there are probably a bunch of factors that go into whether or not a casino would make this kind of offer, and it might be a hit or miss kind of thing. And also, I realize you probably wouldn't have any luck using an offer from one M Life or Total Rewards property to upgrade to a nicer property in the same, you know, family of properties. I doubt using a comp offer from Excalibur, for example, would, you know, get you an upgrade to or a matched offer at Bellagio or Aria or something like that. But if you're looking into trying one of the nicer independent properties on the strip like Cosmo, Venetian, or maybe even Wynn, but aren't necessarily an established player, I'm just wondering if something like this might be worth looking into, and if casinos have been known to offer upfront comps like this at all on a regular basis or anything like that. So anyway, I'd just be interested to hear if you have any thoughts on this. So keep up the great work with the podcast, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
I think he already answered his own question. yeah, so a couple things based on my experience. It seems like when a new independent property opens, and by independent I mean not tied into M Life or Total Rewards, a lot of times they'll be willing to match offers, and sometimes players club levels, sometimes they will promote it, sometimes they won't. I think Cosmo has had on again off again deals to match players club levels from other properties. The host thing is definitely worth trying. When SLS opened, I had heard from a couple people that hosts were matching offers, and I contacted a host, and that's the first time we stayed there. That's how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, hey, here's what my levels are at other properties, and here are the types of offers that I'm getting. And she wanted to see, I think for her, I had to scan in like what offers I was getting, or send her a copy of the email, which was easy enough to do. And then they matched everything that was part of that offer. So I don't know if they would still do that, but when they first opened, they were certainly looking to get attention. And then Downtown Grand did a similar thing.
Yep.
Where they were matching levels and offers. So I would say when something new opens, it might be worth trying. If you are spending a lot of money, if you, you know, have one of the premium levels at one of the existing casinos, it can't hurt to ask at one of the other properties. Call and ask for a host and see what they say.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as ongoing stuff, it seems like a lot of times the promoted card matching only lasts for a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Are comps short for complimentaries?
I don't know. I'll have to consult with Las Vegas Advisor. Isn't that the staple of like every travel, mm-hmm, old Travel Channel show?
Mm-hmm.
Comps, which are short for complimentaries. And then they've got an interview with Gene Scott talking about how even if you don't drink alcohol, you can get free bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. I miss that. Does Travel Channel even exist anymore? I never watched. It used to be,
I think,
like,
so.
That used to be a staple of my viewing, and now I never watch anything on Travel, mm-hmm, Channel. They used to have Vegas on all the time, and now no. Or is it like every other cable channel where they no longer? It's still called the Travel Channel, but now they have like movies.
Yeah.
that are based show, around travel.
Or they show the same thing over and over and over again. Like Spike always has a bar rescue marathon, or
they get their one successful show and then run it into the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It seems like there's so many travel shows on other channels now that maybe they've lost their luster.
Hmm.
Let's check in with Dan again for the final call of the week.
Tim and Michelle, podcasting giants. How are you again? This is Dan from Grand Rapids. I left out a couple of very important things. I was so excited to talk to you guys. You know, I just kind of rambled on. But a couple of things that I had mentioned, the Beatles Love Show. Just where you sit, I would say in order to get the best views of the show, sit a little bit higher. If you sit too close, you're not going to see a lot of the stuff. We were in section 209, and I'm kind of looking at the seating chart. You would want to sit in sections 207, 208, or 209. Or directly across from that, which is 200, 201, 202. And the reasons why I say that is because it got this huge video screen, and it's directly across from you. The stage is circular. If you sit in the other sections, you're probably going to have an obstructed view of the video screens. So if you sit in those screens, we were in row N, which is a little bit higher. Right around there, it sounds a little high up, but it's a small place. And, yeah, perfect views. So sit up a little higher and in those sections, and you'll have a great view of the video thing. The other thing about the limo, I was so excited about you guys making my girlfriend cry. I didn't mention any of the details. Presidential limo, first class all the way. Driver took care of us. He was taking tons of pictures for us. He gave my girlfriend all the shopping magazines, which, Tim, I know you would love.
Mm-hmm.
But we got the full stretch limo, huge limo, two people.
What exactly was he taking pictures of?
I don't know.
Was it while he was driving?
Probably not.
Got they a might bottle have... of champagne.
Huh?
They might have stopped and had a photo opportunity somewhere.
Oh.
Cracked it. As I said, we stayed downtown, but he kind of took the long way. He didn't take the highway, but he took us straight down the strip, so we got a chance to check out all the sites, enjoy the bottle of champagne, and yeah, great service. And also, the package included the ride back. Guy was there right on time. You know, we were wiped out by them, but still he asked us if we had a good time, if the girlfriend had a great birthday and all that. So 4 stars there. Once again, sorry about screwing the phone call up. Hopefully you use this little addendum to my first call. But once again, love you guys. You're still great, even after call two. Bye.
Glad we made it. Glad our greatness lasted through the show.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for those reports. We do appreciate all of your calls.
Oh, limo drivers usually take a picture of you next to the limo,
too. I
know.
I was just being a smartass.
Oh, okay.
This week's Amazon.com listener purchase of the week is the Cast King Orcas 2 all-metal spinning reel. Somebody bought a bunch of fishing equipment, and I kind of was interested in that.
What's the thing we saw yesterday, that lure?
Oh, I don't... What was that called?
It was the something lure.
It was an as-seen-on-TV thing.
Yeah.
And it was...
It was like an all-purpose lure. And
was it like the twitching lure?
The twitching lure. That's what it was. Yep.
It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen, but I kind of want to buy one just to see if it works. Because they guarantee it works on the first cast every time. That's bullshit. There's no way. It lights up and vibrates. And
it activates fish DNA.
Yeah. I'd like to know how that works. If you're going to buy something on Amazon.com, please use the link at 500bymidnight.com. We are part of their affiliate program, and as such, all of your purchases help support the podcast. A few PayPal donations this week. Thank you to Troy for a Karma donation for the UFC 200 trip.
Thank you.
Hope you have or had a good time. I'm not sure when that is. Might have been this weekend. Dan from Indy, Karma donation for a just completed trip. Said thanks for providing my Vegas fix between trips. You are welcome. Glad you like the show. Steve and Mandy in the UK, upcoming trip coming this week. Starting this week, it's a 10-night trip, including the 4th annual Stupid Casino Challenge, which is 25 strip casinos in a day, gambling and drinking at all of them with no cabs, all walking. Well, he said crawling by the end. And then Steve had a note. So Steve is an audio engineer, big-time audio engineer. He has a couple Grammys.
Steve's awesome.
And he said that he was wondering if I'm trying to check his sonic geekdom by deliberately crossing the stereo over on the intro music and synth show 552 putting it in mono. Only there's like three people that I know of who would notice that. I could either go into a long explanation of why that is, or I can just say I fixed another issue. Remember, we used to get those occasional like annoying feedback things.
Yes,
those are pretty much gone.
Hooray!
because I've replaced a bunch of equipment. And I figured out what it was, and now, but I think something I'm using now is
one messed
of the,
up.
Well, it's not messed up, but I think one of the replacement cables is mono instead of stereo, so I should fix that.
Yeah.
For this, it doesn't really matter that much because it's the two of us talking.
Mm-hmm. But for the intro and
things, I'll get a stereo cable soon.
Okay. Well, I hope you both have a wonderful time.
Our friend Dave Cat with a Trip Karma donation for a trip coming up in just a couple days. He said, thanks for being rad.
Oh, well, thank you for being rad.
Wow. Stereo. See, if we had the stereo, we could have put that in different channels. It would have been much better.
Right.
All right. Karma donation from Vegas brother Tim, and he and Vegas brother Adam are heading back to Las Vegas very soon. And he said, Adam will be the Dixie Cup beer drinker of Beer Park. You may recall from previous trips that Adam may or may not have passed out rather early in the day from overconsumption. Hope you guys have a good time.
Yes.
Davis and Kami said, thanks for the podcast. They were at the airport heading for Vegas. Oh,
thank you. Hope you have a great time.
Indeed. A karma donation from Susan. Thank you very much, Susan. And finally, Ryan and Carrie, 17th anniversary, 11th annual trip.
Congratulations on both.
That is awesome. They love the show. Said last year they tried the karma donation to no avail.
Oh, no.
This year, the amount of the karma donation was a bit more meaningful. It matched their anniversary.
Aww.
And they are hoping that it brings some sweet, sweet karma.
Well, I hope so, too.
Good luck to you. Have a great anniversary. And thank you. Thanks so much for your support. As always, I've got a book. Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas. I wrote it. It's almost a year old.
Wow.
I'm going to be doing some updates to that book. We're going to have a new version next year, so like early 2017. But in the meantime, I would love for you to buy the book if you've not already. It's Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas. You can get all the links and details at lasvegasoutsidersbook.com. And what else? Anything else?
Not that I can think
of. All right.
500. Oh, our dogs have finally calmed down.
Yeah, hooray. Little son of a bitch and daughter of a bitch. Daughter of a bitch is one that doesn't get used very often.
No, but she's already a bitch because she's...
So it's just bitch and son of a bitch?
Sure.
Bitch and brother of bitch? Alrighty. 500bymidnight.com is the website. 500@gmail.com is where you can send your Dear Tim and Michelle questions. You can find us both on Twitter, 500, Anita Martini. And of course, our voicemail line available to you anytime, day or night, 702-866-9494. We would love to hear from you. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We will be back soon. Hopefully, we will have more Las Vegas news next week. This week's was kind of a little paltry, but at least we had some good calls.
Mm-hmm. We did.
All right, kids, have a good week.
All right.
Later.
Bye-bye.